So, back to introductions. I will go ahead and start. My name's Manu. I'm involved in quite a number of initiatives on the semantic web and linked data at the W3C and outside W3C. We needed to create something like JSON-LD because we're working on a specification called PaceWorm for the web payments stuff that will hopefully be starting soon at W3C. We wanted a way of expressing JSON, expressing linked data in JSON such that it was really easy for developers to use. So that's kind of where JSON-LD came about. We had worked with Mark Burbeck for a while to get a lot of his RDFJ stuff. I've been talking with Ian at Talus to get some of his thoughts into JSON-LD. So basically, JSON-LD is kind of what our company needed to be able to express linked data for this universal payment standard that we're creating. We can go around. How about Greg? You mind going next?
Yeah, Greg Kellogg. I'm a consultant, work principally in the media area, or at least I have been. I'm also responsible for pretty much all of the RDF parsers in Ruby, and of course JSON-LD was yet another challenge, so that's part anyway of what brought me to the table.
All right. Go ahead, Brad.
Anyways, at Elsevier, we're working on expanding the envelope of APIs we provide to external third parties, including developers, with access to the metadata associated with our content. We've been working on moving that into alignment with linked data standards, and so we've been focused on ways to be able to provide effective repositories for linked data within our environment, starting from an XML underpinning, but increasingly looking at JSON and JSON documents as a mechanism to make that happen within our content management and production system.
Cool. Let's see. Tom, I'll scribe for you.
So hi, I'm Tom. Tom Ayak on IRC and also on like every major social media. So how I got into this stuff, I come from the REST corner, and through the REST corner came over to the semantic web / linked data corner. At some point I started developing some RDFA browser extensions. And soon realized it would be very, very comfortable if we had a way for like not only getting the metadata out of the pages, but also being able to publish them in a like webby way. And this was JSON. I'm also in the RDF and RDFA working groups within the W3C. And in this corner now where I kind of feel the need for having the serialization, but having read through the thread that was on email, a couple of hours ago, I'm more and more feel like, unsure what actually do I want out of it. Do I want the full glory of JSON? Do I want the full glory of RDF? Can be limited to something linked data-ish. What does this mean, by the way? I'm kind of still making my mind clear of what actually do we want, but it should be something that supports Ripple at the least, and complicated structures. I don't know to what extent. So this is what I have to say to introduce myself.
Okay, great, thank you, Mike. You want to go next?
Good morning, everybody. I'm Mike Johnson. I work here at Digital Bazaar with Manu. I am one of the primary developers on our PaceWorm and other technology systems that we work on here. And like Manu mentioned before, we pretty much use JSON-LD for everything. It's pretty much baked directly into our entire PaceWorm architecture, and we use it extensively across our web services and the website. And obviously, we have a deep interest in JSON-LD.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Dave?
Hi, everybody. My name is Dave Longley. My handle is dlongley-db. I also work at Digital Bazaar with Manu, and I, of course, share the same main interest in JSON-LD for using it in PaceWorm to combine JSON and linked data.
Great. Thank you. Did we get everybody? Lane is, Dave Lane is currently driving en route somewhere else, so I'll do a quick introduction for him. He's also one of the engineers at Digital Bazaar. He does a lot of our kind of research and testing and has been helping Dave Longley with the implementation, with the JSON-LD implementation in JavaScript, and I guess Mike a bit with the implementation in Python, maybe? I don't know. So basically these three guys are the main ones that are involved with making these web services such that they have linked data baked in from day one. All right, so I think that's everyone. Did I miss anyone? All right, so let's go ahead and get a quick overview of kind of the state of where everything is. We do have, it started out as a specification, and kind of there's a specification for JSON-LD Basic and JSON-LD Advanced, and we're still trying to figure out where we want to go with this kind of basic and advanced stuff, or if we don't want an advanced version at all and we want, you know, a basic version. But let's take a step back and kind of look at where we are currently with the JSON-LD development, where the spec is, where implementations are, and then we can use that to kind of springboard into the kind of the goals of linked JSON and things like that. So I guess let's go ahead and start with implementations. I think the most complete implementation we have right now is the one that Dave Longley is working on. Dave, would you mind kind of giving a quick background on what the implementation can do and what it's written in and things that are working and things that are not working?
Sure. So far there are a few implementations of JSON-LD that have been worked on. I can talk briefly about what I've worked on, but I also know that at least Mike and Greg have done work in other languages. So I can put a couple of links in IRC. Here's the first one, that's for a JavaScript implementation, and the second one is for a C++ implementation. The JavaScript implementation is currently part of Digital Bazaar's Forge project, but it will eventually get its own repository. The implementation includes expanding JSON-LD objects, which just really means removing context from them, so that you get a fully expanded version of what JSON-LD offers. And then it also includes compacting, which means adding context, which is generally what you do when you have a JSON object and you want to map it to linked data in some way. And then it also includes normalization and framing. The normalization algorithm currently covers the majority of possible inputs, but there are some corner cases that are difficult to solve, for which we're working on an algorithm that isn't too difficult to implement. The good news is that what makes the corner cases difficult to solve also generally makes them useless as graphs of meaningful information. The framing feature is something that isn't in the JSON-LD spec just yet, but it's something that we use internally for the PaceWorm work. It's a slightly more powerful version of projections, which are in the spec. The basic idea behind a frame is to create an object that acts as a filter on a data set. The filter is used to populate a JSON data structure so that your data can be worked with in a more natural way. And there are a couple of examples in the test suite that's currently part of the JavaScript implementation. Here's a link to the tests in there, and there are three links here for just one of the framing examples. This link is for a JSON input to the test, and this is a JSON-LD object that doesn't really have very much structure to it. And then here is an example of a frame that is used that is the filtering object to build a data structure that looks more like a natural JSON data tree that has embedded information in it, and that's what the output looks like as the final link. So that's about the current state of the implementations that we have. The C++ implementation does all of the things that the JavaScript implementation currently does. And we're just working on pushing all of this forward. And I can let Mike just talk a little bit about, I know that he's working on a Python port of the JavaScript version.
Hey guys. Dave, I took over pretty much the Python implementation, I guess, last Friday and wrapped it up in 2 to 3 days. It was really rather quick. I based it on the JavaScript implementation that Dave had done, including all of the comments and other information in that file. And I was able to basically write the complete implementation that passes all tests except for the evil normalization test, and compacted the JavaScript implementation down to less than 1,000 lines. So it was very easy to basically make a very small, quick implementation of this in Python. A lot of the length was dropped due to the terseness of Python versus JavaScript with brackets and things like that. So that implementation was very easy. I was able to also write a test unit for the Python implementation and run through all the tests. And here's the link to our JSON-LD Python repository. The implementation of JSON-LD that's currently in that library is not up to date. I've made all the changes, but I've not pushed the updated branch, which we will be able to merge down to trunk once we sync up basically all of the JSON implementations at the same time. But it was pretty easy. I guess we'll pass it on to the next guy who worked on JSON-LD implementation.
Sure. So, Greg, would you mind saying a bit about your JSON-LD implementation?
Yeah, so I've got a complete parser and generator. I have not at this point done any work on normalization, and I'll put a link in there. Hold on a second. So there we go. Parser is about 375 lines. The generator is about twice that length. It's a little bit more complex. I found it pretty easy to implement, and although had to sort of revise the processing rules, and I had an update to the spec that basically reflected that in a way that I think was a little bit easier to understand than the original sort of Sax-like version that was described within the spec. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think Tom is having some audio issues. I'll go ahead and scribe. Okay, so great. Brad, where's your implementation at right now?
Right now it's basically sitting there, stuck at the specification from earlier in the year. Our focus on work more recently has been to take elements of the spec and work in the context of applying it and encoding it for specific purposes within the linked data repository work we're doing. So we've kind of backed off from evolving the existing processor that was originally implemented in the spring, and just essentially using the idiom itself to do encoding, and using that together with MongoDB to be able to build a low complexity query RDF store in that framework. So we really kind of shifted our emphasis more to application and supporting infrastructure in terms of parsers and processors. And
all right. Okay. Well, is that? Let's see. There are a couple more implementations floating out there. Kingsley, I believe, has done one implementation. I know that he can take the DBpedia stuff and convert it to JSON-LD. Are there any other JSON-LD implementations we're aware of?
A search on Google, I think, turned up a couple of others. Not on GitHub, rather.
Okay. Henry Burgess has one, I'm pretty sure, for his Vi work, the IKS project, the EU-funded IKS project. I'm pretty sure he's got a JSON. He can consume JSON-LD. I'm pretty sure he can generate it. I don't know how complete his parser and serializer are. All right. So I guess that's the current state of things. I know the spec is, I would say that the spec is fairly up to date as far as the syntax is concerned for what we were discussing. I think as basically what JSON-LD was before we started having this big conversation on the mailing list on what exactly we wanted the language to accomplish until we started having this more, high-level goals and requirements discussion on the mailing list. So it seems like we've got kind of two tracks that are going on in parallel here, and it would be really good if we could figure out how to get things back together, right? It seems like things are diverging now, and we need to have a series of conversations to get them to converge again. So on one side, we've got, all these implementations that people are doing. We've got fairly clear mapping to RDF. We believe that the normalization problem can be dealt with in a way that's generic, so not just specific to JSON-LD, but generalized to all of RDF. But simultaneously, we have a group of people that are saying, We don't necessarily want RDF. RDF is great and everything. Well, some people are saying that. Other people are saying RDF is awful. But in general, there seem to be a group of people that thinks that the RDF view of this is too complicated, and we need to simplify JSON-LD down quite a bit. So I know, Greg, you put a document together, kind of a JSON-LD requirements document together. And I think that would be a good place for us to start to just have a discussion on whether or not we believe that we are working from the same definition of linked data, and we have the same kind of goals for JSON-LD that everyone else does. I mean, the thing that's difficult about this discussion is that there are a number of us agree with everyone else on certain things. It's just not the same set of things that everyone agrees on, right? So maybe it would be helpful, Greg, if you did a quick introduction to the kind of the purpose of the JSON-LD requirements document that you put together, and then maybe we can go down item by item and plus one, minus one, plus zero, each one, just to see where we've got kind of consensus, at least in this group that's on the call, consensus on what the requirements and goals of JSON-LD should be. So, Greg, would you mind kind of giving a quick introduction to the requirements document? Let me go ahead and drop that link in to IRC. So Greg's requirement document is there.
Yeah, so basically I just found it seemed like some of our email conversations were going around in circles, and it wasn't clear that we were all comparing apples with apples. So I thought it would be worthwhile to sort of try to enumerate some requirements, and essentially for the purpose that Manu had indicated, that we might go through and determine are these things that we have agreement on or not. So the first set, starting with section 3.1, really was trying to say that this is linked data in JSON, so what is linked data? And trying to get a distill a definition for what some of the principles of linked data are in there. I know there were some recent conversations about the use of the word B-node, for instance, that made it seem a little bit too tightly closed to bound RDF, but my thought was we could talk about it in the form of graphs and look at what different elements of a graph might be. Then in section 3.2, I was trying to say, well, given a understood definition of what linked data means, what does the expression of linked data in JSON imply? And again, this was done in such a way as to indicate that we need to describe a mapping of those concepts onto JSON. But I think recently, some of the more recent discussions sort of call into question really what is the model we're looking from, and is your model basically that of using something like a graph to describe your data and then mapping that into JSON, or is it really a JSON-centric model that is looking at being able to describe things principally from a JSON semantic point of view into something that is like linked data? I don't. Do you want to step through? Should we talk about
what we believe
to be linked data?
Yeah, I think that would be best because that's like the foundation of all of this, right? And I think that you've got it organized perfectly. So let's go through each one. And I think what would be most helpful is maybe I will take each item here and kind of drop it in the IRC. We can do a really quick explanation of it, or Greg, if you could do a really quick explanation of it, then if anyone wants to say anything about it, such as, you know, I've got a question about this, or I don't believe that this is a good way to structure this item, maybe we should use some other different wording, we can have a short discussion on it, and then at the end, we can just kind of straw poll everybody to see whether or not they agree with the statement. And hopefully, once we get through all of these items, we can have a fairly good understanding of where kind of consensus in this group that's on the call lies. So let's go ahead and does that seem like a reasonable way to go about this? Anyone have any objections to going about it that way?
Nope.
Okay, great. All right, so let's do the first one here. Linked data is used to express relationships between entities expressed as subject, predicate, object, or entity, attribute, value. This is basically a triple-based way of viewing things. Any questions on what this means?
I can just throw in a comment right there. I want to make sure that we're just talking about you can express linked data as a triple, but it doesn't necessarily have to be expressed that way in your data structure. This is D. Longley speaking. I wanted us to be clear on that because that also seems like that might be misleading some people on the mailing list. They might be thinking that we're trying to create something in JSON-LD where everything has to be expressed directly as a list of triples, which isn't necessarily the case.
I think that a triple might actually be part of the problem here, and perhaps it's better expressed that just saying that linked data describes a directed graph whose nodes can be and vertices can be represented using URIs or some other internal data structure representation. Because a graph basically can be described with at least subject, predicate, object can be mapped onto the notion of a directed graph, and that's sort of what I was trying to capture.
Right.
So, Greg, that sentence that you used was actually perfect. Could you type that out in IRC?
I have to remember what I said.
I tried to capture it, but I missed it.
Let's see. Well, I think I was saying maybe someone else can try to type, and than I can think. My thought was that linked data basically is used to represent a directed graph, and within the context of linked data, a graph can be represented as connections between different nodes in the form and where the source and destination nodes can be called subjects and objects, and the vertex between them can be called, say, a predicate or perhaps a property, and that those nodes can be may have identifiers, URIs associated with them to allow them to be externally addressed. And that is a fundamental concept of linked data, is that the data has a universal address that can be accessed.
Just a clarificational comment. When you mean vertex in the statement that Thomas just typed, you really mean edge.
An edge. Yes, edge is a, yeah.
Yeah. Does anyone disagree with that general notion of linked data?
The thing is, this is Brad speaking, it would be very clarifying, and this is something we got into the thread yesterday, to really just kind of scrub the way in which this set of 11 things is talked about and really kind of drive it down to this kind of graph theoretic sort of presentation, because then it frees us from a lot of the terminological baggage that we've been dealing with in parts of this conversation, like blank nodes and so forth. I think this is a very useful direction.
Okay. Just to clarify,
we will need to be crisp about the use of terminology, and that's the beauty of taking this kind of an approach, is that we can just reach into graph theory and settle on the set of basic terms and go from there.
Sure. My concern with this approach, I'm not saying it's a bad approach. I think we should follow the path and see where it takes us. I feel like most of these RDF working groups kind of start out like this, right? We start out with this, let's go back to basics and go back to graphs. But what you find over time is that you end up needing to use a word that describes a certain concept, and you find out that there already is a word that the community has been using for the past decade, and usually the decision is let's go ahead and just use that word because everyone kind of understands what that word is. So I don't disagree with I don't disagree with anything that's being said, but a lot of the other discussions surrounding kind of a RDF or reinventing RDF start out very much in this manner, right? Let's take it back to basics, and then you take it back to basics and find out that you need these other things when you get into real world use cases.
An example of that being
blank nodes, right? So for example, I'm going to type out an example in IRC where you do name. So the example I just typed out in IRC is just a really simple JSON object, name colon Bradley Allen, right? The immediate thing that you kind of get out of that is that thing is effectively a blank node, right? I mean, we can use another word to describe it, but it's something that doesn't have an identifier associated with it. And I know that there's this side discussion on whether or not we even allow things not to have identifiers. But we've found that in a lot of real-world usage scenarios, you end up needing to do markup like that. In fact, most of the JSON markup that are used in web services APIs currently don't have identifiers, don't have clear identifiers. So it's just, again, I don't disagree with us going back to basics and really understand what we're talking about and trying to simplify. But I think that when we get into some of these more real-world use cases, we tend to end up needing some of these concepts that RDF has. I mean, like data typing is another example. Literals with languages are another example. So again, I don't have any problem with us trying to simplify it. It's just we've kind of been through this whole simplification game before, and we end up in the same place. That's kind of why we keep ending up with RDF being injected back in here. So just my two cents. But going back to the statement, linked data is used to represent a directed graph. And within the context of linked data, the graph can be represented as connections between different nodes. Nodes are subject and objects. The links are properties. Nodes may have identifiers that are URIs, allowing them to be externally addressed. I think that's a beautiful description of linked data. Any disagreement with that description of what linked data is?
When I try to describe what is linked data, I always bring this concept of adding links where they didn't exist links before. So interlinking before not related things with no statement at all about the technology used. So it can be a CSV file, it can be, it could be via databases. It could be RDF. So, yeah, this idea of interlinking stuff that was not linked before.
Any comments on that?
Well, I'm not sure I completely understand the concern. So, basically, if you have an abstract graph, you're suggesting that the process of adding URIs to it is an unnecessary modification, or you're concerned that the fact that it's linked data forces us to add URIs to it?
I think it's more or less the same definition on linkeddata.org. I'm heading to the URL right now, definition is linked data is about using the web to connect related data that wasn't previously linked, or using the web to lower the barrier to linking data currently linked using other methods. More specifically, and then it uses Wikipedia, a term used to describe a recommended best practice for exposing, sharing, and connecting pieces of data, information, and knowledge on the semantic web using URIs and RDF. So it's kind of if we accept Wikipedia definition, it already brings in RDF, but the first phrase is more about this idea that I expressed before of just linking, but it didn't be linked before.
Right. I agree with that. I agree with that definition, Tom. I don't know if we can build a spec on top of it. Right. It's so general that it's difficult to come up with any requirements. I mean, it's difficult to come up with any kind of process or language on top of that definition. I think we can certainly have that definition in there, and I think that's it's very, very useful to basically say, hey, look, you know, before we had all of these nodes kind of floating out there on the web or in a database, wherever, and linked data is figuring out how to link all of those nodes together so that you can derive more information from that set of data. So I think it's good to have that in there. I don't know how it really helps us write a processor, a JSON-LD processor. Does that make sense?
This is B. Longley speaking. I'd say that they really end up being the same sort of definition. One is just being a little bit more explicit about what's going on with the graph, whereas linked data is just talking, the most recent definition given is just talking at a higher level about using links to connect these nodes that were previously disparate.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. All right, so maybe we can do a quick straw poll to see. Greg, would it be okay if we used your definition there that you put down? It's in the RSC.
I think your rephrased statement of that, I think, is a good definition.
Okay. All right. So basically, this is what we're saying linked data is. We might tweak the language a bit, but do a plus one if you agree with that statement, minus one if you disagree, plus zero if you don't really have an opinion or don't feel like you want to say anything about it. All right. Awesome. Well, that was good. That was easy. We've got six plus ones for the definition that Greg outlined. So that's good. I mean, I think that's a very positive step. We still, of course, need to discuss this with Glenn and Kingsley and Marcus and the rest of the people on the mailing list. But this shows that there is at least some support for a basic definition of linked data. Let's go ahead and jump to the next one.
This is Brad. Before we go there, Mario, just a quick comment. We could probably clean that up a little bit, but I think the intent is captured. We may want to kind of review that moving forward. But I like the definition. I'm just making an exception with regard to just crisping up the terminology.
I agree. And Nicholas plus one did on the IRC as well just now. Yeah, I agree, Brad. I think we should be able to clean that up, but still capture what the intent is. So that's good. I think that was the hardest step, is just getting a basic definition of linked data. Let's see. Next item: a subject is a non-terminal node in a directed graph. Any comments on that? Before we do plus one, minus one on it?
I think it's really more of a nomenclature rather than a definition here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess these are really just statements. These are just statements, and we're trying to see if people agree or disagree on the statements. I could see someone misunderstanding what that meant by non-terminal node is a little tricky. I mean, it makes sense, right? Because, basically a subject, this could mean that a subject is not a subject if it doesn't have at least one property associated with it. Is that what's being said?
Yeah, I mean, really what's being said here is that a subject is a node without degree zero
right.
in the graph, right? So it may be something that, you know, resolves to what we would call a resource, but it is not a subject in the sense that we use that in an RDF triple way in any set of statements that have been distilled out of that graph, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, if it's a directed graph, then it's a subject if it is it can be the source part of that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. It's a subject if it doesn't have any outward links.
Right. Okay, so that might be good. A subject is any node in a directed graph that has an outward link. Is that clear? More clear?
Yeah.
And I'm just updating the requirements as we go along.
Okay. So a subject is any node in a directed graph with at least one outgoing link. All right. Any comments on that before we plus one, minus one? All right, go ahead and straw poll. The subject is any node in a directed graph with at least one outgoing link. So we've got six plus ones. We'll hold off for Nicholas to see if he plus one or minus one. Okay, so that's seven. Nicholas just plus one. So that's seven plus ones for that. Let's move on to the next one. A subject may be given a unique identifier represented using a URI.
It's almost redundant.
No, I think this has more to do with identification, right? It's do,
right.
do
so,
we Go ahead, Brad.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. I think that the reason it's redundant is because we're talking about identifier twice in the same statement. But really, given an identifier, as that phrase is used in the document, is synonymous with saying that the node is labeled with an IRI or URI or whatnot.
So a subject may be labeled using an IRI. Would that?
Right.
Yeah. A subject may be labeled using an IRI. I think that's a good way to do it.
With an IRI.
With an IRI. So a subject may be labeled with an IRI.
Right. And so what that does then is it can clarify what we're doing when we're talking about blank nodes, because a blank node is essentially an unlabeled subject.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. So let's go ahead and straw poll plus one, minus one, that a subject may be labeled with an IRI. All right, so we've got six plus ones in IRC. Nicholas is a bit hesitant to plus one, minus one, just because he's missing a good bit of the conversation. All right. Okay, so now we're going to get into territory that's a bit shaky. This is the blank node stuff. Greg, would you mind if we skip down to number 7?
No, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I just want to get some of these easier ones knocked out. So a predicate describes an edge of the directed graph relating to entities. I had one suggested change here, and that's that we stop using the word predicate to talk about these things. It tends to confuse people when you use predicate. People are far more used to words like property. An object has a set of properties. A subject has a set of properties. Usually when I end up explaining what a predicate is to people, I say, oh, well, it's a bunch of properties on an object, and people tend to get it immediately there, whereas predicate is not really used very commonly in the English language. Would there be any objections to changing our use of predicate to property in these documents?
No, I think that's a helpful step.
Okay. All right, so this statement would then read, a property describes an edge of the directed graph relating to entities.
Maybe we should use nodes instead of entities to be consistent with our earlier.
Right. So, I mean, and you know, the predicate is, the statement that there's a predicate there is the fact that there's an edge there. So, you know, I mean, it's not that the predicate describes, the predicate is an edge.
Right. So, property is an edge of the directed graph. Property is an edge of the directed graph relating to nodes?
Well, it's an edge of the directed graph, full stop.
So the relating to nodes is redundant. It's implied in the fact that it's a graph.
Right.
Okay. A property is an edge of the directed graph. All right, plus one, minus one, that. All right, seven plus ones, good.
And then that takes us to 8, which we can, again, basically just say that a property may be labeled using an IRI, or with an IRI.
Yeah, that's where we're. It should be labeled with let's see. With an IRI. Okay, a property should be labeled with an IRI. Oh, so this is... Okay, so we have a little... I think this is still okay. We said previously that a subject may be labeled with an IRI, and when we say may, I think we mean in spec terms. So may means people might not label it using an IRI. They may label it in a totally different way. The property should be labeled with an IRI. Basically, IRI says that the difference between should and may is that we strongly suggest that people should label a property with an IRI, but we don't have that strong of a recommendation with a subject. So the question that's raised is why is there an inconsistency there? Why is it more preferable to label a property with an IRI than it is a subject with an IRI?
Well, I think that what we're doing is we're distilling the degrees of freedom in terms of how people want to approach this down to the choices with regard to may, must, and should, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the discussion, for example, in the thread yesterday with Glenn kind of really basically boiled down to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that we're seeing, Jason LD accommodate is, how one labels properties in a way that's consistent with usage in JSON, where, one is simply just using a term rather than something like a query or an IRI.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think where we get sort of syntax and semantics confused, and a statement in the LEC data section that predicates or properties should be labeled using IRIs does not, in my mind, mean that within JSON you have to always use URIs.
Right.
It means that it sort of replies some requirement that the JSON-LD must provide a way to do this, but I think that's what the context is for, where you can create the mapping from a term to an IRI so that within your JSON you can just use terms and stick to normal JSON convention.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess the other question I have is should we make the subject a should? Should we say that ideally, perfect world, linked data means that your subjects are represented using IRIs, right? It would be best if... I guess this is
an assertion I'm questioning. I think that we didn't make that statement for subjects because we recognize that common usage is that many things don't have an independent identifier. For instance, my home address. Map to my home address. I don't need to give it a separate URI. There was some concept of using a property path that came by earlier, and that might be a way to be able to describe my home address. But to say that it's my home address, if I just say home address, that might have some other completely different meaning as a short term. And therefore, using something which is unambiguous, such as a URI, to describe that property relationship is a best practice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So I think we're being consistent then.
Yeah, and it might be useful to sort of be able to add some commentary to these items in here. I'm not sure if we can just be able to distill it from our log here, but that is the motivation in my mind behind using should on using URIs for properties.
Okay. And I mean, really, it probably should be elaborated in the document. Because the distinction's important, so it should be in this requirements document you have, Greg. All right, so a property should be labeled with an IRI. Any other comments on this before we plus one, minus one in? All right, go ahead and plus one, minus one that. All right, I'll note that we are at the top of the hour right now. So if there are two things we can do, really. We can continue the call for another 15 minutes to get through 9, 10, 11, and then start the blank node discussion. Or if people need to go at this point, we can just end the call. So does anyone need to go in the next 15 minutes? All right, and thank you, Tom, for continuing to scribe. All right, so let's go ahead and extend for 15 minutes. We had 7 plus 1s to a property should be labeled with an IRI. All right, so the next item up here is an object is a node in a directed graph that may be a non-terminal or terminal node.
And I think we need to reword this along the lines of how we reworded a subject.
Right. I mean, that, what that means is that an object is a node with n degree greater than or equal to 1.
Okay,
the graph
object
you're
is
right
a
with.
Node in a directed graph that has an n degree greater than 0?
Right. So, but I mean, just to be consonant with the or consistent with the way that you mentioned it, I'm just looking through the trace here. What was it? The way you said? Oh, with at least one incoming link, probably the balance.
Okay, yeah. An object is a node in a directed graph with at least one incoming link. Okay. Any link and edge? We should pick between link and edge.
Right.
Edge? Is everyone okay with edge? Okay.
And then we should revise the subject as well.
Yep. Yeah, you're right, Tom. Link is very overloaded. All right. An object is a node in a directed graph with at least one incoming edge. Any concerns about that before we go on? All right. Let's go ahead and straw poll that, plus one, minus one. Then, Greg, we're missing you.
Oh, I thought I plused one.
Oh, sorry, that might have been before I put that in there. We're missing Nicholas. So Nicholas is, well, unfortunately, Nicholas is missing the audio, so... says, what is a link? The use of an IRI to label an edge. No, link is confusing. We are using... Link is too overloaded. The graph is nodes and edges. All right. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next one. An object which is a terminal node is called a literal. So we would want to rephrase this and say an object which has no outgoing edges is called a literal.
You know, but in thinking about that more, that's not really true. In Kingsley's notion of reference and the like, a terminal node might refer to some other information resource, which describes its referent.
Right, because an object, I mean, you can have an object that is a node that's labeled with an IRI, and the intention there being that it is a resource-valued triple. I mean, essentially, that the two nodes and the edge between them form a triple, and then I'm repeating essentially what Greg has just said. So, right. You know, the thing is that one way you could rework 10, you know, and then segue into 11 is that, you know, an object should or may, and we can talk about that, be labeled with a string. That string could be an IRI or it could be some other thing which, you know, may have a data type or a language associated with it. And I think that, you know, that's a little muddled as I just stated it, but that's really kind of the intent here, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yes, except to say labeled with a string is now getting into, might be considered getting into syntax. And I just say that because if you did look at a JSON type representation, you might use a JSON object then as the a JSON object that had no properties as the graph object, the terminal node.
Yeah. No. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay, so I'm a bit lost as to where we are with the definition of this.
Objects may refer to... the point of its being linked data is that an object might be a link to some further description of that of the entity described by that object. But this gets into are there implied semantics for actually dereferencing these links in order to obtain that data or not? And I think that might be a little bit contentious.
Right.
I mean, RDF doesn't go that far.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, then maybe this is an aspect where 10 and 11 maybe go a little bit too far from this level of defining the linked data. The driving it down in the subsequent section in JSON-LD predisposes us to certain solutions for what an object is. I mean, I'm just trying to think about what the most general way to say this that would embrace both RDF and the JSON perspective, you know, from the sense that, you know, for example, Glenn was advocating.
Yeah, I mean, we could strike both 10 and 11, right? Because and replace it with something. I'm not saying that we wouldn't say anything about it, but it seems like language doesn't really enter into this, right? The graph is a kind of a mathematical concept. I don't think that language really needs to be a part of it, nor data typing. I feel like we do need to say something about a terminal. You know, it's a terminal container for information.
Right, but what you can say, though, is that the object can be labeled, okay? And, you know, and that label may be, you know, I mean, that it may be labeled with an IRI. So, you know, whether it was, you know, the string associated with that IRI or a JSON object, that, you know, provided a description of that IRI, you can still talk about that node as having a label associated with it. And that label
Well, if an object is a scalar value, such as a date, can that have a label?
Yeah. Well, I guess the thing is that if you know that value is in essence the label, right?
Right. Yeah.
See, the thing is, I mean, what I'm seeing here is us being able to articulate, okay, for a given JSON object or you know, an RDF description or what have you, you could draw the graph in a way which was serialization neutral, simply talking in terms of nodes, edges, and labels. And that gives us the way to be able to clearly motivate what we're doing with things like mapping and context and so forth, and be able to, allow us to be able to frame the discussion with, that span, these two tracks that Manu referred to earlier by, just essentially clearly pointing back to this definition of linked data and saying, what the predisposition was in terms of what labels could be given and whether things should be may, should, or must. I think we're really
right.
close to that
yep.
with this.
Yep. So... could we say an object may be labeled with an... So an object is very close to a subject, our definition of a subject. An object may be labeled with an IRI or a... what? Literal?
Well, we might want to use something like scalar to stay away from RDF terminology
yeah,
if people agree
like
that they're equivalent. Or it's a futile exercise to try to stay too separate.
Yeah, so Nicholas in IRC is saying that literals are said to denote themselves. I interpret that kind of like they are their names. So basically a literal is the name or a label of an object or subject, or sorry, object.
That actually stands on its own. If we could almost go back, I think what was said earlier about an object could be maybe given a unique identifier. What do we say? Maybe labeled with a URI. We can then add to that the label itself might be a literal value.
So are you saying an object may be labeled with an IRI or a literal value?
Well, I think we need an abstract definition of an object first.
Uh-huh.
And...
Well, we have that in 9, don't we?
Yeah,
what are we saying now for 9?
An object is a node in a directed graph
with at least one incoming edge. Correct. And then I think we add an object may be labeled. We want to say may be labeled with an IRI. And then another one, an object may be labeled with
a literal. I struggle myself too with a better, a less fraught term than that. I mean, whatever reasonable synonym there is for literal, but that is the sense that we're trying to capture there.
So Dave just typed in IRC, an object must be labeled with an IRI or a literal.
Well, but that doesn't take into account, in effect, the unlabeled object, i.e. blank
so
node.
Yeah,
because a B node is neither an IRI or a literal.
Yeah,
we could think of a B node,
but
as
there's a question of why do you need a B node as a terminal object?
Also, is a B node considered a subject?
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, but
although we didn't actually approve that.
Yeah, that's the thing. An object is not, well, it's terminal with respect to the graph, but it doesn't mean that, well, okay, that's right. If it is terminal, if it's a terminal object, then it doesn't make sense for it to be necessarily unlabeled, although it could, you know, it could be.
We could view BNodes as just another label, another way of labeling things, right? It's just a different class
things. If it's a BNode and it doesn't have any properties, there's nothing to that. So
right.
If it's going to be a blank node, it's going to have properties, which means it's going to have to be a subject.
Well, let's make sure that's really the case. I mean, this case, right?
Well, the only time it's not a case is when it's an existential quantifier. And,
right.
And I think my point is that's about queries. That's not about actual representations.
But it is a representation to say that I have a son. I don't want to get into the angels on.
That's true.
If we just pull it back to this graph language, basically all we're saying is that some nodes can be unlabeled, okay, and that's it. And then the rest of it can be a discussion with regard to, you know, the various ways in which we make the semantics more specific, but if we simply just leave it at, what Dave is saying here is, you know, an object, labeled with an IRI or a literal, and then, you know, change the must to should or something like that, then we've got it, I think.
Yeah, that would be fine with me.
Okay, so an object should be labeled.
What should?
It probably should be may.
I typed in there is.
Okay, so an object may be labeled with an IRI or a literal, or it may not be labeled at all.
Correct.
Well, that's redundant.
what Greg just typed there, I think, is nailed it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right. So an object may be labeled with an IRI or a literal. Any questions or suggestions? Tom is scratching his head. And again, I mean, we can, you know, if we make a incorrect decision or a bad decision here, if it causes problems, we can always come back and redo the list. So we're not, this is in no way final.
Can we maybe skip that for now because it sounds like really redundant or too vague depending on what proposed definition we use?
I think it's good to have it in there. Sorry, say again?
I was just proposing to skip it and see if you need it later on.
I don't disagree with that statement. Does anyone do you disagree with the statement, Tom?
Yeah, as I just said, it's either relatively vague because we have this may in there, with an option even, or redundant if you say or nothing at all.
Okay, so you think saying nothing at all may be just as equivalent as saying something about it at this point? Because we're basically saying an object could be anything. It can be an object exists, and it could be labeled or not labeled. And that is kind of it's not a very strong statement. Greg, Brad, do you guys disagree? Dave?
Well, I think that we've introduced sort of we started to introduce the things that can be here, IRIs, literals, and we could add, if it would make it clearer, or nothing at all, which would then basically be a way of describing a blank node without calling it such.
I think it's a little bit important to at least say what the possible values are here, and I think that's all we're enumerating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, really, I think if we came to some kind of agreement on the blank node thing, we would put whatever term that was in here. It would say may be labeled with an IRI or a literal or, you know, insert the word we want to use to refer to a blank node. Yeah, so Greg, what you just typed in IRC, an object may be labeled with an IRI or a literal or a vnode.
Right, I think that covers all the cases.
Yeah, but see, I guess from my perspective, what I would want to do is say you can label it with an IRI or a literal, but the unlabeled thing is effectively the blank node. Now, we may go further and say that we want to have a special label to say that something is unlabeled, but that seems, you know, that's where we get into this thing about dragging some of the RDF idioms into something which is best left as is in the context of something like JSON, where I don't have to create a label to say that I have a blank node. I just simply have stuff buried in there in the object structure. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a bit too far to say that. Saying explicitly that there should be a vnode label then kind of gets into the syntax thing that I think others were talking about earlier in the conversation. I think the statement that an object may be labeled with an IRI or a literal does enumerate the possible values in a way which build the bridge to the RDF model relative to the way that we're kind of pulling back and having an RDF neutral way of talking about linked data from this graph perspective. So that's kind of my reasoning
mm-hmm.
with respect to
mm-hmm. that. Yeah. I just feel like we're. I mean, so what about what Greg just put in to IRC, Brad? An object may be labeled with an IRI or a literal or be unlabeled.
Well, I just think that last disjunct is redundant with the
Yeah, it is redundant.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if we had something in there about nodes may be unlabeled.
Do we say
as a standalone? We don't say that. Well, we skipped over the whole vnode thing. So
okay,
maybe
all right.
That's just what we want to say.
So if we had that other statement in that, I think that this would be okay. An object may be labeled with an IRI or a literal. And
yeah.
Then nodes may be unlabeled.
So perhaps point 5 should say instead of a subject without an URI is called a blank node. We could just say a node may be unlabeled.
Right. Okay. So an object may be labeled with an IRI or a literal. A node may be unlabeled. We'll split them into different things when we do a plus one, minus one. And in fact, why don't we do this one first? A node may be unlabeled. Any comments on that?
Nope.
Okay. Let's plus one, minus that one that really quickly to get a feeling of whether or not there's consensus on that. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 6, and then Nicholas. All right, so I think we have consensus for node may be unlabeled. Let's do the next one then. An object may be labeled with an IRI or a literal. Any comments on that before we plus one, minus one it?
The only comment I would have is that it does then beg the question of what the definition of a literal is, which I would suggest that we add in to be complete.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. So what is the definition of a literal? A literal is a label...
Oh.
That consists of you know, I feel like we'd get into syntax. It's hard to describe a literal without getting into syntax. All right, so we're quite a ways over the call at this point. How about, Greg, would you mind just kind of updating that requirements document and then taking another pass at the blank node slash unlabeled bit and the literal bit?
Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll try to mark the places for which we haven't, I don't think we've achieved consensus as issues or something.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that would be good, especially the blank node stuff. But I think this is good. It's a fairly solid foundation without mentioning RDF or using, you know, without getting heavily into RDF. This is a fairly simple list of what linked data concepts are. So I think that's good. I think that was something that's very positive that came out of this discussion. Anything else that we should discuss before we close the call down?
I just have two quick statements. First of all, I mean, speaking for myself, and I'm sure the rest of us on the call, Greg, I think, you know, pulling this document together has been hugely useful. And again, I wanted to thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, I was wondering if it would be possible to put this up in a GitHub repository so that that people can fork and tweak and do that kind of stuff. If the group thought that might be a productive way to keep evolving this in the same way that the JSONLD.org thing is.
Yeah, it actually is in the JSONLD.org.
Oh, okay. Well, I misspoke.
Yeah.
So it's already there. All the source code for all this stuff is up on GitHub. Anyone can fork and modify and do pull requests on it.
Okay. Forgive me. Perfect.
No problem.
You.
No problem. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for being on the call. I think this is a very productive call. Tom, thank you so much for scribing the entire time. I know it was a very long long time to scribe. We owe you a beer, at least. all right. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for the call, and we'll move the rest of this discussion on the mailing list. Take care.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.